Many Republicans see it not just as the weaponizing of the justice system, but a state court run amok, talking about the hush money trial against former President Donald Trump and the 34 felony convictions against him. 34 felonies that under normal circumstances would have been misdemeanor cases, but they were elevated. So House Republicans are now looking at a bill that would snatch that conviction at state court and put it into federal court to give current and former presidents some place to go to basically nullify what happened in state court. Ryan Schmelz is covering it as a Fox News radio correspondent and WJR contributor and joins us live from Washington this morning. Hi, Ryan.
Hey, good morning. Happy Monday.
This is interesting. A bit of a knee-jerk reaction to what happened. Tell me what's at the core of the bill. How would it get from state to federal court?
Right. So the argument that's being made by some Republicans who are pushing this is that, well, you already have these protections for members of Congress, which allows them to take a federal criminal or a state criminal case and move it to federal court. So therefore, this would just extend that power to the president as well as the vice president, both current and former. So, yes, I mean, therefore, if this were to become law, former President Trump can maybe take the case down in Georgia and then move it to the federal level. And I believe he could also take the case in New York and then move the appeal process to a federal level, too.
That was going to be my question. If he's already convicted, would it help in the New York case? But the appeal process is still out there.
It looks like, yes, that would be the case. So, yeah, I mean, the New York case is far from over. You know, we're going to have an appeal process at the state level there, and then they'll go from there.
You know, the idea of federalism has been a bedrock principle for conservatives and Republicans as long as I can remember. The idea that you don't have the federal government sticking its nose into state business or the state judiciary, for that matter. Are House Republicans kind of, are they acknowledging the fact that they're kind of violating one of their bedrock principles with this?
Well, we haven't really had a chance to ask too many Republicans that counterargument, because that was one that was made by Jamie Raskin, who's the top Democrat on the Oversight Committee, where he said, you know, essentially along the lines of what you said, which is a party that, you know, prides itself on states' rights and states' individual powers like that. You know, he thinks it's ridiculous that the Republican Party would be the ones embracing a bill like this. So, yes, that has been something that Democrats at least have pointed out so far.
If there is enough support, well, let's start there. Is there enough support for this to pass at least the House?
I could see the idea of this passing the House. There might be some Republicans who may defect from this, but, you know, if Republicans are able to get everybody on board with this, it could pass the House. I think that's definitely a possibility. You know, and I think they're just going to run on the argument that, you know, currently members of Congress have this power, so why can't this apply to presidents and vice presidents as well? In terms of whether or not Democrats will jump on board, I'm not quite sure. You know, I think the only option really Republicans would have this Congress to get this passed would be to negotiate this as some type of government funding package or some type of bigger package like that. But in terms of getting enough support from Democrats to get this passed through the Senate would be just it's almost definitely a no at this point.
Well, and one of the Republican responses to I'm sure the concerns that I've raised or that Jamie Raskin articulated is simply this: if you don't like it, maybe you shouldn't weaponize the state courts.
Yeah. Yeah. And well, the problem is that Republicans don't really have the power to overturn any type of state court conviction right now when it comes to whether or not like Alvin Bragg or what former President Trump is facing in Georgia. So this is it's a tough situation. I think that's the argument, which is that if you move this to federal court, you know, Russell Fry, the congressman who's authoring this bill, believes that, you know, state court or federal courts do have a more robust jury selection process. There are some other protections that federal courts have that state courts do not. And that's one of the reasons why somebody as high ranking as a president should have the power to do that.
Is there a plan for this to come to the floor anytime soon?
We haven't heard anything definitively just yet. You know, Speaker, this is a very fresh bill. Speaker Johnson just commented on it for the first time last week while former President Trump was visiting Capitol Hill. So whether or not he's going to bring it to the floor at some point, I think it's still a little too early at this point.
House members getting a lot of questions over the weekend about some of the tax ideas that President Trump floated in his closed-door meeting with them. The idea of replacing income taxes with tariffs, the level of our international trade, you'd have to put one whopper of of a tariff,
yeah, of a tariff on
to replace the income tax. And then there's also the notion that then there would be retaliatory tariffs from our foreign trade partners, and,
yeah,
and would it would actually depress the amount of international trade and kind of kill the golden goose. Is anybody from the Trump campaign putting meat on the bones of these ideas he's just kind of thrown out there?
Yeah, I've not seen too much of that just yet. I think the idea would be for the tariffs to offset some cuts in income taxes, not completely, you know, overhaul the income tax system. But, you know, we have seen some examples that go as far as to do that. But I think some Republicans are kind of calming it down by saying, okay, well, it's just more of a way to help offset some of the reductions in tax revenue that we might have if we're going to go forward with a tax break, because we don't want to be contributing to the national debt.
Yeah.
But I think one they're a lot more excited about is this idea of stopping taxes on tips for the service industry. I think that's one that Republicans seem to be getting behind quite a lot. And I wouldn't be shocked if that's one on the campaign trail that really start to run with.
Well, he certainly talked about it at the African-American church here in Detroit when he appeared on Saturday, and it seemed to get a lot of support. There are those saying, though, that, you know, be careful what you wish for. The unintended consequences could be you have a lot of people just reporting tip income then and not, and kind of shifting to an all-tip model. That it could be, you know, there could be some fraudulent activity.
Yeah, I'm sure that's possible, but, you know, I think we have to wait and see how this would actually look if they were to put this as a piece of legislation, how it will be rolled out and everything like that. But, yeah, I know there are some of those who are cautioning, you know, the whole idea of being careful what you wish for. But at the same time, you know, I think there's this argument, too, that, oh, well, the service industry is grossly underpaid. And it's, you know, they feel that it's kind of ridiculous that somebody would be getting taxed on their tips when, you know, it's people's money that they're willingly giving somebody. So, you know, why can't we uphold that system and maybe make it a little bit more fair?
Yeah, well, and the other side is shouldn't you treat all income equally? Isn't that the best
right.
way to be fair? And not kind of picking winners and losers based on how or where they get their income from.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, like, there's already the idea that the service industry and the industries that rely on tips, they can just forego, right? Like, can't they forego the minimum wage laws? You know, so that kind of gets lumped in here. So it's a lot more complicated than just saying we're going to overhaul, we're going to stop taxing tips. You know, there's a lot more that goes into this, and I think there's a lot more legal to the legal side of this that goes into it that's probably not getting talked about.
And we'll await more information and your coverage on it, Ryan Schmelz. Thanks for your time.
Of course. Thank you, as always. Great.